Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Mark, you had brought in a story about these college safe spaces, and I actually happen to have one that's independent of yours, but also related to a safe space kind of mentality. What was your story? It was about college Republicans being banned from a safe space?
Yeah, that's the claim here.
Were they acting in an unsafe manner?
Campus reform. They were wearing Make America Great Again hats.
Ooh, that could cause triggering.
Yeah, well, I think that's exactly what occurred. Yeah.
I just love the idea that this whole triggering thing, I mean, this is pretty new, right? Like, people didn't talk about...
Yes, it is.
People got upset before, right? That's like basically what being triggered is.
Right.
Is like it's a new word for being upset.
Yeah, this
something.
Is yeah. Triggering is the presumption that you have the right to go through life without people saying things that you don't like. Also, consider that it's important to point out that you get to say whatever you want to say, but other people don't get to say what they want to say.
I see.
That's ultimately what triggering comes down to. College professors at this point, liberal college professors. All college professors are basically saying that, you know, this whole triggering thing is it's crazy. And
really?
Yes. I mean, when you have the liberal college professors coming out against the liberal college students, you know the world's about to end.
On college campus, there should be a presumption of freedom of speech. Now, I understand that it's you know, if it's a private company, that what you're suggesting, Melanie, that they are not in any way associated with the college besides the fact that they're just renting the space, then yeah, I can understand why they would argue that they have they should have control over that space. On the other hand, you do want to try to make people happy, in which case they're probably making the right choice because the college Republicans are likely, you know, less than 1% of their business, and so if they cut them out to make the SJWs or whatever the normal liberals,
college students, I think, would probably be what you should call them these days.
To make them feel more comfortable, then I guess that's the right business decision to make.
Right. That's the difficulty here is that if I were running a coffee shop on a college campus, it would be difficult for me to find the college campus where they didn't receive government money. Right?
Yeah, most all of them do.
Well, there's like two in the states that don't. So,
was it Hillsdale?
Hillsdale is one.
There's a religious one in Florida.
What about University of Phoenix?
Like, those might be, I think those are probably different, but I'm sure they get things like Pell Grants and stuff like that. They get government subsidy.
EJ, you were talking about a recovery group that you're a part of, and you're saying that these college students calling themselves triggered, or anybody using this term, is really an insult to people who are actually triggered, who are, let's say, having flashbacks because of PTSD, you know, being triggered by fireworks going off or dogs barking or something like that to actually trigger some sort of serious episode as opposed to just bad feelings.
Exactly. It's not just like PTSD either. I mean, it's a number of issues. A trigger is an emotional response. It is a negative emotional response to a stimuli that causes very, very strong negative emotions associated to a past trauma or an addiction or, you know, some type of event that, for all intents and purposes, really altered the course of a person's life. You know, the military vet suffering PTSD is the most obvious type. Mm-hmm. I was sitting in a small group with a guy who he'd been in Iraq, and he said that he can't stand to hear the sound of a jackhammer. This was a gentleman who was recovering from an addiction, and he kept saying the word attempted because he finally admitted, he was like, you know, I can't be around these certain people. I'm tempted to do this. I'm tempted to get back into it. And when he said, you know, I feel like there are certain songs that he used to shoot up heroin to that he can't listen to because it triggers a craving to shoot up heroin.
Whoa, that's intense.
And that is an idea. And so it's essentially this idea that that you have these stimuli that come in to the picture and cause you to react in an involuntary emotional way, potentially leaning towards a self-destructive behavior. What it is not is, you know, I saw videos of the night that Hillary Clinton lost the election.
Mm-hmm.
And this one girl in particular literally said on video, she said, "I feel so triggered right now." And the question I wanted to ask her was, triggered to what?
Yeah.
If you become a cop, there is a bunch of victimless crimes. I assume there's victimless crimes in every country. But the overwhelming majority of laws in the states are victimless crimes. So at best, what you're signing up to do is to go kidnap, rob, and assault people because they violated a list of commands written by legislatures. That's at best. Most of them also falsify evidence, pull people over without probable cause, all that other good stuff. But what they're openly admitting to is, I will assault you if you violate one of these precepts.
There you go, Ricky.
Now, one quick thing before I talk to you, young lady. Now, what do you think should happen to all these individuals that do these things that you say that they do, that you're so sure of?
Well, I mean, ideally, I would like to see them convert, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Why is it that Ricky and Ralph are threatened with bans all the time, but Sarah, the chronic caller who talks about New Mexico traffic and always seems to have some sort of an agenda, is never threatened with a ban?
She changes it up, actually. She'll change her topic.
Yes. It's like 99% of the time she's talking about traffic in New Mexico.
And then y'all sit there and respond like it's entertaining. I just want to tune out personally. I just wanted to propose that you all, you know, put the same type of a condition on her. If she starts talking about anything traffic related in Albuquerque, she gets banned for a long time.
You know, because if she doesn't talk about traffic in Albuquerque, that she talks about people living on the dark side of the moon, right?
I love that. That's so much fun.
No, it's not useful
at crazy.
All.
I love crazy. I love crazy callers.
Wait, that kind of crazy is not useful
it's
to
fun.
Anyone.
It's fun to be.
It might be fun, but it's not useful. It doesn't convince anyone of anything.
Well, we don't guarantee that we're
going to
be useful. We don't guarantee. This is not a guaranteed useful show. It's a talk show.
I mean, you don't have to guarantee it, but you could try. I mean, yeah.
I think she changed it. Like, to me, she changes up her topic often enough to where
I do
it's
wish
different.
She wouldn't be like, if you talked about Keene the way that she talks about New Mexico and Albuquerque, like, and she conflates New Mexico and then Albuquerque and Phoenix and all these places as though they're one.
In Sarasota, Florida, we were on a 4,000 watt station or 4,500 watt station that didn't even cover half the marketplace. I mean, it was like a little piddly stick that had no real penetration into the population there. But we had call after call from all kinds of different people. And as soon as we got syndicated and on more radio stations, all the calls just went away. And they've never really – like we Saturday nights are fine because we have plenty of people participating in the show. A lot of the times Sarah and the regulars won't even be able to get through because our phones are so busy on Saturday nights. I mean, I wish it was more like that every single night, but I'm reticent to make any kind of significant change to how the show works because, well, you know, it's always been that way. It's not to say that we couldn't change it, but then would we have to change the name of the show?
I'm not advocating to change it. There are already bans in place. I am simply saying treat everyone equally when it comes to that bringing the same topic up every single night. And I don't feel like that ban has ever been applied to Sarah. That's all I'm saying. So
I mean, Ian's the one that makes the bans.
I've never felt she deserved it.
But I don't think that they're banned for being repetitive. I think that they're banned for being repetitive racists.
The president says, I'm protecting my customers. And I don't know what the precedent is, but let's say the coffee shop manager? I'm not sure. It says president.
Yeah, you had told me before it was the manager.
They say, we're your customers. We bought something. CR, that's Campus Reform member, replied, I don't want people like you supporting this club. I guess it's a coffee club.
People like you.
Yeah. No one here wants people like you supporting our club, the president retorted.
I'm giving you 5 minutes. Here.
The student then asked for a refund, to which the president responded, you had some coffee. Do not try to outsmart me.
Now, I don't think it's unreasonable to ask for a refund in a situation like that. All right, fine. You don't want my presence here.
If
well, I don't want my money here.
$2 for a cup of coffee to be able to drink it in a coffee shop,
yeah.
And then they say, well, you're going to take your $2 coffee and leave, then I think that to
some
extent...
Yeah, they owe you money.
Yeah, I think to some... You've been jilted.
I mean,
to
really, they can't even kick you out because you have a contract to, you know, for this.
Well, there's no contract.
There's not a piece of paper. A piece of paper is not what a contract is.
Well, say it to him again!
Well, I mean, there's no... Without any terms, you don't have a contract. You
when
may
they
have
put your coffee in a cup, there's a freaking term, Ian. The term of the coffee.
There's an unspoken
coffee shops
agreement.
Say that you... I mean, basically, you get an hour or two to finish your coffee so that and use their Wi-Fi.
Yeah, there's an unspoken agreement there, but there's no... I mean, there's no
That's
actual
a contract,
explicit
dude.
Contract.
No, there's a contract of what you're getting when you buy an $8 cup of coffee.
But wait a minute. In order to have a contract, don't you have to have an offer, an acceptance... And
yeah, and they accepted the money.
To me, if it's not written down, you don't have a contract. You've got an agreement that's unspoken, and that is not
an
a contract.
An agreement is a contract.
Because when you have contracts that are not written down, people will forget about what the terms are.
Agreed.
If there ever was an agreement
to terms.
Okay, so
that's why it's a good idea to write down your contract.
It's a good idea to write down your contract.
But you don't want to write down a contract every time somebody walks into your coffee shop, so you just sort of have to go by social norms and expectations. And I think that it is an expectation that if you buy these things, you should be able to sit down and quietly
well, and
enjoy it.
And it probably says, you know, Wi-Fi on the door and, you know, maybe something
for
about the seating,
only.
Maybe not. So they did it. It's not really just an expectation at that point. It's an advertised part of
what
the
if
service.
You're blind? There's not a little audio message that goes off when you walk through the door.
There
what
might
if,
be Braille.
What if you're
you don't
dumb?
Know.
Look, that's all we're talking about here is... expectations in society versus an actual contract. And I'm sorry, I understand you're an attorney, Melanie, but I don't buy the idea that social expectation
well,
is the same
okay,
as
so
a contract.
My status as a not attorney doesn't because we're not talking about laws. If we're talking about laws, then me and Mark win.
The Black's Law, 9th edition, definition of contract number 1, an agreement between two or more parties creating obligations that are enforceable or otherwise recognizable at law. And the number 2 definition is the writing that sets forth such an agreement.
That's why it's number 2.
Right, so then,
you do not have an explicit agreement.
Forbes says the only two elements... that are necessary to make a valid legal contract as all parties are in agreement. And that's mm-hmm. why we write things down.
That's
so
right.
So that all parties
so they can
will,
understand.
But that doesn't mean that
but
they're
so
actually in agreement.
That's an evidentiary issue. So if it's a good idea to have cameras on your perimeter, that doesn't mean that someone's not committing property damage if they steal your flag when you don't have a camera up.
Right.
So, and the other thing, something of value must be exchanged. Mm-hmm. In this case, the terms of the contract are laid out from a societal level, and it comes to expectation, probably of a neutral arbitrator, to decide that. Some of the things that the coffee shop is offering is coffee, but they're also offering cups. Was the coffee given in a paper cup, or was it in a mug? Mm-hmm. If the coffee was issued in a mug, it's clear and obvious that people were sitting around drinking coffee. Is there free Wi-Fi? Are there tables? Are there chairs? If all these things are present, if coffee costs $2.50, there's tables, chairs, and it came in a porcelain mug, it's pretty friggin' obvious that, yes, that guy deserves his money back if he's being kicked out.
I can't believe what they're teaching these kids in school. I think we need to have a book-burning ceremony.
Why?
Burn all the Commie Corps books. That they're teaching them all this communist stuff. The
so you think burning books is the solution to ideas you don't like?
Well, not the communist ideas that they want to run down America's throat. No, it's not a good idea.
We know
what it's about.
I don't know that burning books is the best way to get across your points of being intellectually honest or being not a communist.
Yeah, I think you should implement the best way to show students that communism doesn't work is to implement socialism in grading. To make the kids that study hard get the same grades as the kids who don't study at all, and then they can
Well, they're not going to do it. No, they're not going to do it. That's why what's wrong with America. Half of them's working their behinds off, the other half are just sitting back.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah, I can't say I support book burnings. I think that would be a disturbing, precedent to set because if it's acceptable
to
burn some books, then it should be acceptable to burn any books. And would you like it if your books got burned?
No, but these are communist books that they got in schools from grade school through college.
Here's what you ought to do then. Get your kids out of the government schools and out of the colleges, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
When you receive a menu or you see a price next to an item and order that item, you are agreeing to that price.
That's right.
Before you pay. So in this case, the only way that these people would be in violation of the store's policy is if the policy was labeled outside of the window before they entered the establishment.
Yeah. No, I agree with you there. However, obviously the store gets to refuse service to anybody that they would like to.
Before they take the money, they do.
And they can, well, I agree. They should have given the money back is what they should have done and then, you know, said bye-bye. But, the store can refuse the service if they so choose at any time based on the behavior. Just because, you know, they've worn shoes into the restaurant and worn a T-shirt doesn't mean they get to, you know, jump around like fools and knock over the furniture, right? Like, there's no contract that says you're supposed to behave yourself, but that's, again, one of those implicit agreements that we all just sort of, you know, agree to in polite society.
Right, it's applied under common law. I agree with you. But in terms of entering a contract, almost everything, every exchange is an implicit contract. Just the only difference between a written contract and a verbal contract is the very notion of that people, change what they think the terms were.
Right. In a written contract, you can't say you didn't know. It was right there.
Well, you can have a vague written contract, and you can have an explicit or an implicit verbal contract.
I was kind of curious, though, if you guys could pick up your contract with the Free State Project again.
The contract with the Free State Project, meaning
the advertising contract
that we had.
We're banned from the FSP, so I don't think they would want to sign a contract.
Are you banned?
I'm not personally banned. The show is banned.
That's correct.
Asking me to volunteer.
Are you still a member?
I didn't really see the purpose of informing them that they quasi-banned me. So they're not going to adjust the counter anyway. Like, it's just not worth... I shouldn't have signed, but at the same time, like, it's just not worth my time to, like, go and officially, like...
Yeah.
It's now, not going to do anything.
Are you saying
I don't have an agreement with the FSP.
Right. No, we did at one point. Are you saying, Socrates, that you want us to have some sort of a partnership with them again?
Well, yeah. The Free State Project is falling apart without the Liberty Talk Radio kind of being the forefront.
Right. So then what's our incentive to have any relationship with them if they're just falling apart without us?
I'm calling about some encouraging developments in the current Bundy trial.
Bundys. These are the guys who have been in the news a few times over the last several years. The first time was the standoff at the Bundy Ranch out in, I think it was Nevada, between the Bundy family and the Bureau of Land Management that ultimately ended in kind of a stand down. Thankfully, I don't think anybody really got shot in that circumstance, but they ended up coming after them with criminal charges. And then later, a couple of the Bundy brothers went out to the Malheur Federal Wildlife Refuge with a large group of protesters and basically occupied that place for a series of several weeks before the federal government and state police came in there and used violence to remove people from that place, ultimately killing one man, Lavoie Finicum. Anyway, some of the charges they defeated in court at a jury trial, and what's the latest?
Well, this is the main standoff trial with Cliven, Ammon, and Ryan Bundy, along with Ryan Payne. And Pete Santilli was also being tried in this tier, but he pled out to some garbage felonies before the trial started. He got time served with some conditions. But the developments have been even better more recently.
Really? Okay.
All all of the defendants from this tier and the next have been released without bail.
It's amazing how people that I talk to sort of in real life really believe the Bundys need to be punished for what they did.
What did they do?
Well, that's the thing is the media, this is they're a perfect example of the media trying somebody being tried in the media.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything the media shows makes them look sort of very, very guilty.
But of what?
I don't know, being bad to the government, stealing right. land?
Well, if you're a statist and you believe that the government can own land, then you probably think that they're guilty of trespassing and destruction of property.
You can believe that the people who are on the jury believe that. Mm. And they have not, have they managed to get a single conviction of anything through a jury trial at this point?
There have been a few convictions. And
like minor stuff, but the major stuff that people are let off of?
One guy in the first tier got 80 years.
Whoa.
Greg Burleson got 80 years. And I believe that is primarily because the FBI sent a film crew into the Bundy Ranch, into their home, really. Hmm. They thought it was independent filmmakers.
Yeah.
And so they wow. interviewed the Bundys and some of their friends over and over again. This guy, Greg Burleson, he gave the most smack talk. He said the most inflammatory things, and I believe that's why he was convicted.
Since you were talking about contracts and rules, I thought this would be a good time to bring up the Twitter purge, the Stalinist purges that are planned for 1 week from now.
Really? What's going on?
Well, there's some kind of rule in the EU that you have to announce changes, I guess, a month ahead of time. So they actually announced it a month ago.
Wow.
When they de-verified Richard Spencer and like a couple other of the Charlottesville people.
okay.
Wait, they de-verified them or they banned them?
They de-verified them then. The assumption is that they're going to start banning them now or at least 1 week from now.
Okay.
The Twitter rules say, quote, you may not make specific threats of violence or wish for the serious physical harm, death, or disease of an individual or group of people.
Okay.
Etc. But then they added this provision that says you may also not affiliate with organizations that, whether by their own statement or activity, both on and off the platform, use or promote violence against civilians to further their causes. We'll begin enforcing this rule around affiliation with such organizations on December 18th.
Doesn't sound like an unreasonable rule to me.
I can tell you I spend less time on Facebook than I used to. And one of the main reasons is essentially it's filled with,
trolls.
It's just filled with content that upsets me.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself more than one time, why do I spend my time here being upset? Whether or not it's whether I agree or disagree with like maybe the person's posting something that they disagree with and it upsets me, mm-hmm. but I'm still upset. It doesn't matter whether I agree with this person being upset with a third party or I'm just upset at somebody on there. You know, it just doesn't edify my life in a lot of ways. So I'm just back off.
You had something about Facebook in your show prep tonight. Can you pull that up since it's probably relevant to this conversation? But Nathan, I'm sorry. I had asked you a question, then all three of us interrupted you. So what was it you were saying about? Why should we care?
Right. So the reason is that this is an extension of, these political policies where they have a policy and it may be a good policy, but they only apply it to one side. They only apply it to
conservatives. Do they, though?
You've seen it happen dozens, if not hundreds of times. You post an opinion or a complaint or a link to an article on Facebook. Somebody adds a comment disagreeing or agreeing with whatever you posted. Someone else posts another comment disagreeing with the first commenter or with you.
And then there's 100 more that come in.
Others jump in and add their own viewpoints. Tempers flare. Harsh words are used.
Right.
Soon enough, you and several of your friends are engaging in a virtual shouting match amid insults in all directions, sometimes at people you've never met before. There's a simple reason this happens. Turns out, we respond very differently to what people write than to what they say, even if those things are exactly the same.
Really?
That's the result of a fascinating new experiment by UC Berkeley and University of Chicago researchers. In the study, 300 subjects either read, watch videos, or listen to arguments about such hot-button topics as war, abortion, country, or rap music. Afterward, subjects were interviewed about their reactions to the opinions with which they disagreed. Their general response was probably very familiar to anyone who's ever discussed politics, a broad belief that people who don't agree with you are either too stupid or too uncaring to know better. I'm on two sides of this. A, I feel like A person who expects me to convince them on Facebook by writing some long wall of text for them.
Spend half an hour typing out.
To do an essay. It's essentially a grammar school teacher having me write an essay for them.
Which they then won't actually read.
Right. They'll read the first sentence, the last sentence, and say, too long, didn't read.
Or they'll pick
whatever.
Out the parts they disagree with.
Right. Disagree with the parts they disagree
with. Well, you can't start with a whole page long post is the
but that's what it comes
how,
to
it well it,
comes.
But if you give them an article to read that's more convincing than what you've done, they'll say they'll never read the link, right. And I won't read your link either, in all likelihood. If you post a link up and tell me to go read this, well, I don't know that I've got time or energy or inclination.
Okay, but you have to build up to that. Somebody can't just be like, why is taxation theft, and then you respond with a page long Facebook article that turns itself into a note.
What percentage of people do you think you convince of anything on Facebook?
Pretty small, but it's better than I can do in real life.
No,
I can't walk up to somebody in the street and be like, hey, let me talk to you about anarchy.
I decided that my time and my emotional energy is more important than the minuscule number of people that I can convince of something new on Facebook, and I have withdrawn from that. I believe that what Roger Ver does is the best use of social media.
What's that?
I've seen him use it very, very well. So he has a some kind of repeater system, right? So he types something in on some system, and that then populates to whatever social media he uses. I, as an incredible, I'm a talk show host. I am one of the peaks of getting the ideas of liberty out there, of articulating this message. And these people, it just flies past them like it's completely useless. No, I am not going to throw pearls to swine.
They weren't there to be convinced. Now, the argument is that, and I think that Melanie has sort of made, but not directly, is that, well, you won't convince that person, but maybe there's hundreds watching who
There
are hundreds of thousands here on Free Talk Live, and I can't get that person with whom I'm communicating to call in.
Right.
That says to me that the people who are watching...
Okay, well, most people aren't going to want to be on a public platform, so I don't know that that's a good judgment
Facebook
of who you're...
But Facebook is a public platform.
But they don't think it is, which is stupid, but they don't think it is.
Well, if you see the little globe next to the person's post, that means it's a public post and that anybody on Facebook can respond
to it. But it doesn't feel public, whereas the radio does.
Yeah.
So even though there's no real difference.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.